I don't know if you've had to beg for anything recently, or even in your life you thought of yourself as a beggar. You know, begging is a very humbling thing. I remember probably begging more as a child outwardly than an adult. As adults, I think all of us adults beg inwardly, and we beg in different manners. Sometimes we beg out of desperation. Sometimes we beg by putting our best self forward as if something about ourself would save us at that point. But it has been said that those who are very spiritually healthy are like one beggar showing other beggars where to get help. So hopefully you thought of yourself or saw yourself in some measure as a beggar recently, and perhaps even today. And in the story, there's a beggar who's crippled and very disabled for a long time. And Peter and John are there in the story, and Jesus puts himself again right in the middle of all they're experiencing. And if you could see Jesus right in the middle of the things you are desperate about, you'll find great hope in him. But they're also at the place of worship, right? Similar to what we're doing this morning. And the Bible doesn't waste any words when it talks about what's happening in people's lives. It says Peter and John went to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And for a devout, God-fearing person back then, they knew that the temple was open a number of times a day, 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. And devout people would come and seek God and praise God and say, Lord, we need your help. And they would all do this together. And remember, at this point in the life of Peter and John, they had seen Jesus rise from the dead. They knew about the forgiveness of sins. The Holy Spirit had come upon them in freshness. Peter just preached and 3,000 people came to the Lord. And so they were delivered in a lot of ways from, you might say, dead religion. They were delivered from legalism, thinking that they had to work their way to heaven. They were delivered from ceremonial obligations, you know, thinking, well, maybe I need to really go. If I don't go to a certain place, I won't be heard. They were already delivered from all that, and I'm sure the Lord was still working on them. But nevertheless, they went to the temple to pray. And they did so because they wanted to, not because they had to. And what a gift of God they took advantage of. I find in my life one of the great excitements of knowing the Lord, and one of the things I let go of or neglect very, very frequently, is gathering with other believers to pray. Remember, again, here's Peter and John, healthy believers, not doing it out of a sense of ceremonial obligation or commitment to a certain place, saying, I go to pray with others, because this is an expression of health for my soul. And I think of myself, pastors are notoriously neglectful of prayer. That's a hard thing to admit. Most pastors would rather preach than pray. And the results are sometimes obvious there. And our time of prayer, mostly in our church, is probably the most prayer that takes place together and corporately is Wednesdays, when we gather to pray. The young people pray, the kids do in their time together, and the adults do on a significant time of sharing together. And there's some good experiences in that if our hearts come because we want to, not because we have to. And I found in my life some of the special times of being close to God, having my faith increase because I hear other people pray, and hear the sense of praise to God, and also the sense of desperation. That builds my soul very much. If I pray with take time to pray with my family, my faith in Christ grows, and it's a very strong positive thing that Peter and James are modeling at this point. As a pastor, I get invited to a lot of things. I get invited to a lot of experiences, seminars, and workshops, and things. And for every for every 50 seminars and workshops I get invited to, I get invited to one prayer time. And sometimes, because pastors are like that, congregations are like that. And then, again, it creates a sense of weakness or neglect of the Lord. I think for the contemporary Christian, probably one of the biggest areas of sin and reluctance is in the area of gathering together to pray. And when I do so very realistically. Sometimes when I pray with others, I don't always feel close to God, but I know what we do is very significant. Sometimes we gather together and it almost turns into the, call it the Gethsemane snooze. You know, when Jesus gathered together with his three, he said, pray with me in this hour. And then they prayed for a while and then they nodded off. And Jesus mercifully said, let's keep at this, you know, be awake, because this is a critical hour. Can you sense the Lord telling you that in terms of your own prayer life and commitment to pray with others? I think to target again, could you come and pray with God's people because you want to, not because you have to? Be like Peter and John. Say, I go because we'll meet God there and something good will happen. Something good will happen. There's an old rock and roll song that kind of depicts, I think, our relationship with God. There's a phrase in the song that says this, talk to me like lovers do. It's a strange song. But in that song, the person is expressing, hey, I need to communicate with my loved one at a level of heart to heart. Can you hear God's Holy Spirit saying that to you all and to I and to His people? Talk to me like lovers do. Talk to God like you love Him. Ask Him for a heart after yourself. And soon will come the day, as it has been in the past, where it'll be easier to come to get people to pray. Say, come and pray. That'll be easier than saying, come just to, and it's not a just thing, but come to a concert or come to, you know, any other type of gathering that we all get excited about, and it's good to get excited. But we say, like Peter and John, at the time of prayer, they went. They were free in Christ. They went because they wanted to. They went because they knew health was there. And not only that, a beggar of all people said, yeah, take me too. Take me too to the hour of prayer. Because even if I only get a nickel's worth of spirituality to help me survive one more week, I'll take it. I'll take it. If you're a beggar like that, to seek God in prayer. Well, this beggar in particular was in for a surprise. He just wanted to get through the next week. But God had to change life for him in mind. The Bible said the man was crippled from birth. And every person I've ever talked to about their own life in a significant manner has shared something of a disability that they have also had for a long, long time. For this man, it was ever since I was born, I was like this. For other people, it's ever since I was a child, and you fill in the blank. Or when I was a teenager, this happened and I... And they walk around in a state of being hurt or crippled. For some, it's ever since I married so-and-so, God sees that disability and that difficulty. For some, it's a physical injury, and those are very difficult if you have a disability from birth in some manner. Everybody wants to look a little bit different than they look. To God, you look terrific. You are made in His image, and no amount of conforming to the way the world thinks you should look is going to top that. So you should be thankful and humble. Keep that in mind. But the physical injury could be a lifelong thing that God can help you through. Often it's at the level of emotions, which are harder. Ever since I was this way, I've been crippled by this. I talked to a fellow just recently And his family member went through a major surgery. And I said, how's it going in the recovery from the surgery? He said, physically well, but mentally it's much harder. And that's where people are at. Much harder to have health in our emotions than in our physical bodies. We want the health in the physical bodies, Lord knows. But we need the help in our gut level where we live and how we're doing with our experience of joy and peace and patience and all those things God would gladly share with us. So this man was crippled from birth. It might be you're crippled in terms of a sin that easily besets you. Sin is an example of really a hatred toward yourself. Someone called sin the ultimate act of spiritual suicide. You know, suicide is a very bad thing that only desperate people do. When we sin, we pretty much tell the Lord, we would rather die than follow you. Would rather die spiritually than follow you. We take sin so lightly, the cross should remind us we can be set free and forgiven. Being crippled is very hard. I went to junior high and high school with a person who was crippled from birth. He had an arm that was born with an arm half the size of his good arm. And he had a hand shriveled up that just did not work. But he functioned very well and was admired by a lot of people for his ability to get around and have a measure of thankfulness in his life. And yet at the same time, he had to deal with that disability on a daily basis. Unfortunately, too, when people found out about the disability, he was under attack. Some of his friends, if you could call them that, would actually go and get his good arm and put tape on it and watch him as he struggled with his bad arm to try to get the tape off. Now, I tell you that story to show you what the brokenness of being crippled could be like. And especially if you get picked on. If somebody finds out about your disability, whether it's a sin or something in emotions, be careful because you might be attacked. And sin cripples us in that way. Not only can't we help ourselves before the Lord, when other people sin against us, we don't have the ability or the resources within ourselves to get that off of us, which has been put on us. We need God to come and save us, in every sense of the word, from being disabled. Well, this crippled man in the Bible, he was beyond human help. He asked Peter and John, can you give me some money anyway? I mean, at least if I eat, then I might forget my problems. And they say something very dramatic. They say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give you, that in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. And when they said, silver and gold have I none, they were really saying, look, all the money in the world is not going to help you, friend. Isn't it true about your soul and my soul? If we had all the money in the world, it really wouldn't help the level we need our relationship with God. We need something greater than silver and gold. Christ the Lord. So they say, well, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, walk. And the Bible says, the man gets up. You can picture this. If you've turned to Christ in any measure, you've tasted what this is like. The man gets up. He starts to walk. He senses a strength he never had. And he starts to jump around and walk around. And any person this morning who sincerely turns to God in any manner in their heart is set free in their spirit like this man was set free physically. They are as joyful as him. He was the happiest guy in Jerusalem. Most joyful man. And if you and I, if we turn to Christ in any measure from the crippling effect of sin in our life with sincerity, I think God would lift us up and say, now you have a new life with the Lord. Now you can be free with him. And Peter says, people start to look at Peter and John and follow after them. They say, what are you looking at us for? As if by our own godliness and power, this man is is made strong. They say, no, by Jesus, he is made strong. By Christ, he is made strong. Peter points people to Christ. He starts to preach. And what does he preach about? He preaches about the Lord. He preaches about Jesus. Remember, he died for you. He gave his life for you. He loves you. Times of refreshment can come from him, he starts to say. You would think Peter would have preached about healing. The man was just healed. But he points to the healer. Your life can be changed like the man who was crippled was changed. He says, repent and turn to God. Turn away from sin, that times of refreshment might come from the Lord. And as bad off as the crippled man was from birth, our soul is that bad off without the Lord coming and taking up rightful place in our soul. It's bad enough to be physically disabled. You can't help yourself. If you're spiritually disabled, that will hurt you a long time. If physical disability will hurt for years sometimes, maybe for 100 years. Spiritual disability will cripple you for eternity. For eternity. Jesus would come and touch that. What do? We have to be like the beggar. We say, we can't help ourselves. At least get me close to God. Maybe friends would pray for you. Somebody get me close to God. At least get me to the place where people worship and pray. That's good. We have to realize, too, that all the human resources in the world can't help us. That without Christ, we can't solve our own problems. But he's gracious and waits to answer our prayer. Realize, too, we could be made strong and refreshed by Christ. I think that's why people come to church. You know, just to cheer you on and get your heart in the right direction. It's getting to the point in the history of our nation where people don't go to church anymore out of tradition. People don't go to church anymore because grandma and grandpa did it, although that's a good reason. Got to follow some decent examples. They don't go to church anymore just because everybody else is doing it. That's for sure. You go to church because you need God. And God says, now I can help. Now I can help. And, you know, social workers tell us something about beggars. If you have a soul that begs. Mike said at the start, we don't have to beg God. That's really true. He's ready to help. But social workers tell us that beggars don't ask everybody for money. Because they are desperate. They only have so much time to get their next meal. So they will look around and see whose eyes look compassionate and whose body language looks like they might help. And they will only ask them for help. And, you know, have you been trained by your own sense of spiritual need to say, I know where to go for help? You look around, you tribe yourself. Other people are a limited resource. But you... And then you look to Christ. And you say, he will help. Jesus promises, you know, others may have passed you by and written you off as a hopeless person in some area of your life. Oh, they've been like that their whole lives. They can't change. God can raise the dead. God can take a person who's hurting and bring health and healing to their soul. You can be strong in the person of Christ. And Jesus gives a promise in John chapter 6. Anybody who comes to me, I will in no way turn away. What a promise. Always available for any beggars who say, Lord, would you give me Christ for my soul? And God won't cast you out, or you be a beggar on behalf of somebody else. I can show you where to get help. Come and follow as I'm following Christ with his help. To close our service, I was going to have a time of just silent prayer where we think about the things in life that might hold us back, and we would be as bad off as the crippled man who's a beggar. And maybe we come to our service, hopefully not just for a little, you know, just give me a spiritual nickel to get me through this week, but rather to once again taste and see the Lord is good and know the strength of the risen Christ. And as God speaks to you in these different ways that are real needs in the human heart, might you just say, I turn from sin, I turn to God. And times of refreshment will be given by Him. That's a scripture promise that is true for your heart as you turn to Him. Let's pray together. Silently pray with me. Father, like the crippled man, we come to ask for help, and we are not ashamed to do so. And thank you, Jesus, you're not ashamed of us if we would come to you and ask for help. For any rebellious sin in our heart, Lord, that you'd clearly point out in the conviction you'd bring by your Holy Spirit, might we turn from that sin and just embrace you and your forgiveness. Help us know, Lord, your heart is for us. You've dealt with sin at the cross, and you are ready to walk with us. If we'll walk with you, we could walk in a new way. Help us to know if we stumble and fall, you won't be shocked. But the freshness of Christ can come. Might we speak to you now about any crippling effects of sin, how we could be set free from that. Father, we come to you and want to be set free from any crippling effects of this world or maybe our own thinking on our emotions. Often it has to do with anger toward God or toward somebody else. And we don't know how to be angry and not sin. That's why you help us in the scriptures to, with your care and your amazing help, not even let the sun go down on our anger. It would be a great way to live today. Before sundown, we had a strong encounter with you. It's some of the things that are we are in pain about, and so we are armed for bear. We pray, Lord, that we would give you the anger we have. Thank you. You accept us when we're angry. You don't turn away from us as others do. We feel the strong love of Christ dealing with whatever it is that would hold us back from following you. Might your Holy Spirit bring conviction and healing in areas of our health and our emotions. And certainly gladly talk to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Gladly talk to a trusted Christian leader, counselor, Christian friend who is a vessel of healing for you. Lord, other things that your Holy Spirit would bring to mind, perhaps unforgiveness toward others, and we could be crippled a long time with that. As Jesus said, 70 times 7, practicing forgiveness, but also dealing with sin that we perhaps have to forgive in a committed, long-term kind of way. Jesus, your Spirit is stronger than our sin. Thank you for that. Might your good Holy Spirit bring healing to hearts. Might there be forgiveness of self, forgiveness of others, and feet set free to leap and follow you this morning in our souls. Lord, we commit these truths to you. Might our hearts be set free in this hour of prayer, and keep us with a heart after yourself. Teach us where to turn when we are in trouble. We do turn our eyes upon you, and we find in you health and salvation. Thank you, Christ, for being available to us. In your name we pray. Amen. we sing together a song of exhortation. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The place of health is in Christ. And be your beggar self before Him. And let Him create in you the real sense of thankfulness or the real sense of gratitude and turning to Him that is obvious in the soul where God would show you. Okay. We see.